Father, as we come again to you, we ask that as we turn to your word, that you will open ears to hear the truth of your word, open our hearts. Father, may we see who you are. May we see the truth of your word. Father, by your grace, plant it deep down in our hearts. Lord, I pray that none of us will leave today the way that we came, that you will have your way with us. Your people will be fed and strengthened. And Father, if there's anyone here or anyone who's listening, that you will call them by name and they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In your holy name I pray. Amen. We've come now to the end of chapter 3 as we work our way through Paul's last letter. Paul has been urging Timothy, a young man who's pastoring at the church of Ephesus, a church that's been experiencing lots of problems, to remain in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to face false teachers who had crept in, and to get them out of the church so the church can grow in faith and in godliness. And only by staying in the gospel will the church do this and endure. Now, for those of you who were here with us last week, you'll remember I covered verses 14 and 15 last week, but for context, I'm including them again today. You'll remember that Paul told Timothy to continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Our faith is an ongoing faith. It's not a one-time decision. We can never depart from it. It is a continuing of trusting in God. We are to keep believing what we've been taught. We keep our faith until that one day when our faith is turned into sight and Christ himself is standing there welcoming us. Until then, we are to stay in these teachings, the doctrines that explain what we know about God and about ourselves and about Christ and his gospel. There are those, we're told, who will not continue in them, and they will go from bad to worse. But you, Timothy, you who have received the grace from Jesus Christ, stay in the scriptures for the teachings. A godly life needs the sacred writings. Notice the order here. Notice the order. We stay in the scriptures to have the teachings for us that ultimately points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or is given from the gospel, or promised through the gospel. Paul said, remember who taught you, Timothy. Remember how you've been acquainted with the scriptures since childhood. This is not just for adults. There's good reason why we teach our children the Bible. So they will learn and they will remember it and they will not depart from it. Paul ended verse 15 by saying, it is scripture that makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What a statement. Just think about that for a second. The scriptures make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That means salvation does not come from a pattern of life that tries to do the right thing. The Pharisees are an example of that failure. It does not come from any other place we can visit on this planet. It does not come from anything else we try to be a part of or try to join. No membership. No membership can testify to the truthfulness. It's the scriptures. The Scriptures alone make us wise for salvation. If you want to know about salvations, the sacred Scriptures, the holy writings tell you. You can have assurance of salvation through the Word of God. It will tell you how to be saved. For this reason, all of us, man, woman, young, old, boy, girl, we all need to be taught the Bible. It's through the Scriptures that God reveals Himself and our need to be saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. That's where we ended last week. And now, verses 16 and 17 appear without any kind of transition. There's no preposition, there's no conjunction linking it to the previous verses. After telling Timothy to stay in the Bible, it seems Paul added these verses to emphasize, to really stress how important the Bible is. One commentator says Paul added them to stress his mention of the Bible. Just mentioning the Bible, Paul says, this is how important it is. It's like Paul, if he would have been standing there with Timothy, would have leaned in and said, Timothy, these Scriptures are your life. I can't say this enough. You need this book. It will save your life and it will save your church. We all need the Bible. We are all about the Bible as God's people. We are Bible learning, Bible keeping, Bible living people of God. It's the Bible that tells us who we are. It's the Bible that teaches us who Christ is and his worth, his love, and his finished work done for us. And when we're confronted with false teaching, it's not our wit. It's not the craftiness of our argument. It's not our experience. It's not our own strength that will overcome them. None of us are wise enough to beat them back on our own. The false teachers had entered the church at Ephesus. Scripture says they wormed their way in. They could have been welcomed, but they were let in. And this has caused huge problems. And Paul, being in prison, he could have written anything to Timothy and to the church. Here in his last letter before his execution, he tells Timothy, hold on to the Scriptures, Timothy. Hold on to them. Why? What is it that Timothy needs to pastor the church? What is it he needs to face the false teachers and stand strong and keep going? Timothy is to face the threats and the difficulties of the day with nothing else other than the Scriptures given from God. It's the Bible. As Timothy remembered his childhood, and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois teaching him the sacred writings, and he remembered Paul's ministry and his wonderful example and the way a follower ought to live for Christ, and then reflect on what Paul says about the origin of the Scriptures, that it all comes from God Himself, and what the Scriptures do, Timothy would then stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he would persevere. It wasn't Paul that would get Timothy through this and put him on solid ground, as helpful as Paul is. It wasn't his family, as much as his family obviously loved him. It wasn't his role in the church, as important as his role was. Paul and his family, Timothy's family, were living out the Scriptures. It is the Word of God that Timothy needed. It's what Paul, his family, even his role, all depended on and came from. Timothy was not told to create a wonderful experience in the church. He wasn't told to outmaneuver false teachers. He wasn't told to just find a way, Timothy, to get along with everybody, regardless of how insincere their faith is. He wasn't supposed to follow the latest fads or be that trendy church. Paul says, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, turn to, stand on, and live by, and use the word of God. Paul charges Timothy, and as his letter was read to the Ephesian church, he's telling them, God's people are to be a people of God's book. It's the Bible that contains the truth and gives us life. And as the psalmist says, understanding beyond measure. According to John Calvin, it's the Bible that takes confused knowledge of God in creation and what man has done in culture and man-made religion and shows us the true God. The Bible is more than knowledge and a mental exercise, though. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Your words became to me a joy and a delight in my heart." A delight of my heart. It's the Bible that gives us the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Showing us that not only is there an intelligent designer for our world, but there's a Redeemer who loves us. A divine being who not only rules the universe, but is also a personal mediator and savior. It's the Bible that's our weapon against false teachings and the evil that we face and the temptation and sin in our own lives. And the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, is the only weapon that is both used to defend and to beat back the enemy. The Bible is God's means to grow and edify the church. It is the way His grace transforms us and builds us up as His people. It's the way His grace has His way with you. It's His word that unites us as we submit and live together under it as His people. It's God's way to strengthen our faith, to increase our trust in Him, and prepare us for spiritual battle. Sadly, the Bible is not accepted by many today. Even in the church, there are people who go to church, who say they're Christian, but they no longer use the Bible as the sole rule of faith and living. They get a hold of another book, maybe, some other material, or something else that gets their attention, and they latch on to that. And some say the Bible's not enough, it's incomplete, or it's inaccurate, it's outdated. They ignore and they skip over parts they don't like. In reality, what they're doing is they're forgetting what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 32:47 in his song. After God gave His word to Moses, this is what Moses said. He said, "They are not empty words, they are your very life." They are your life. And Isaiah reminds us that while we are like grass, we live and then we're gone, it's the word of God that will stand forever. There are so many other books out there. So many libraries full of books written by men and women. For thousands of years, the best minds have written their thoughts down. Yet in every single one of them, there is a flaw. There's something that's inadequate or deficient about these other books. But there's one book that's for every single person. And it's complete. It's for their life. It's for their afterlife. It's for their marriage and their family. It's for their children. It's for their job and their profession. It's for their problems and their difficulties and their pains. is for their hopes and their dreams, for their warning against sin and rejection of God. Everything in your life. The Bible, the sacred writings that Paul tells Timothy to hold on to, is that one book for all of us. And this is no ordinary book. Remember, Timothy, where the sacred, the holy writings come from and what it contains. It does not contain man's words. In his Institutes, Calvin again continues and says, the Bible is crammed with thoughts that could not be humanly conceived. And generation after generation, there have been attempts to dismantle the Bible, and it still remains today. Calvin goes on to point out that throughout church history, once people received God's word, they were willing to suffer for it. Men and women before us dying for their faith, a faith that was explained to them from the Holy Scriptures. And we have brothers and sisters today who are willing to go and share the words of Scripture, even if it costs them their life. What a book. The church is full of people who risk their lives to share the Scriptures with others. To give it to people in their common language. Again, I'm quoting Calvin again. He says, the Scriptures have been sealed with the blood of so many witnesses. That in itself does not cause people to come to faith, but it does cause people to wonder, why do these Christians have such a love for God's word? Why are we a people of his book? Why do we love the Bible so much? For our time remaining, I want to give you three reasons found here in verses 16 and 17 to answer that. Why followers of Jesus Christ have such a profound love for the Scriptures, such a high view of it. We submit our lives to what he said in this book. Now, Paul has already said in verse 15, it makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But how? How does a book do that? That's what we're looking at. The Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ because of its origin, because of who gave it to us, its usefulness in our own life and in our church, and it equips us for everything else that we're called to do in this life. First, the Bible's origin. Paul says the Scriptures are breathed out by God. Some translations say that they're inspired. Not like an artist is inspired by looking at something else and they get inspiration. Inspired here means breathed out by God and inhaled by men. The words of the Bible are literally God-breathed. Paul used a word that put both God and breath together, theopneustos. He put God and breath right together. Like the words I'm speaking now, they have my breath. And when you breathe your words, it's the same. The Bible are the words of God that came from his mouth and have now been written down for us. Scripture is helpful here to get a better understanding of this. What do we mean by God breathed? The psalmist in Psalm 33:6 says, God spoke and his word came by his breath. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians earlier in his ministry in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. And he said, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And I already mentioned Moses and Deuteronomy. Both testaments, both the Old and the New Testaments, say that the Bible came from the very mouth of God. These are his words. That means the Bible is not just a collection of truths about God that some men wrote. It doesn't just introduce us to him like a biography does. There are parts to the Bible that are like that, but it's more than that. A biography is written by someone who, after learning as much as they can about the person they're writing, then tell you about that person. The Bible is better than that. It's also better than an autobiography. An autobiography is written by a person about themselves. It tells you about them, and then you're welcomed into their life. You're an outsider that's looking in to this other person's life. The Bible's more than that. But here are some simple facts for you in the Bible. It's written by over 40 men over the course of 1,500 years. Yet the Bible claims, and I'm telling you this morning, it has one author. One author, God Himself. The words and the men who wrote them down were inspired by God. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Both the words and the men who wrote those words down were inspired by God. It came from God. The Bible is, in fact, a revelation of God Himself given to us from God. And it's more than an autobiography because God not only tells us about Himself, He tells us about us, our need, and the love of His Son. That's why the Bible is not simply a roadmap for your life, as it's wrongly described as sometimes. It begins and it ends with God, and God tells us our right place in between. While the Bible will direct you and it will lead you in your life, and we'll get to that in a minute, it is not a guidebook. Like when you're on tour and you're holding a pamphlet and that pamphlet's pointing you somewhere to focus on. No, the Bible contains the words of God and His glory. We are to approach the Bible then theologically. That means we approach the Bible with a focus on God. God has written His words down so that we will know Him, and through knowing Him and by His grace, we will then love Him and worship Him. Think what knowing that the Bible comes directly from God did for Timothy. Think about what he was facing in the church, all the problems, the sin, even in his own life. Think about what knowing that the Bible comes from God did for Timothy, helping him to stand firm and have that assurance that an eternal being with his wisdom and his forever love is standing. It's that ground that he's now standing on, not his own or some other man. This is God's word. An immovable rock. Nothing can shake that ground. Nothing will be able to move Timothy as long as he stays with that word. He can worship. He can lead the church, knowing that God is giving the words. Knowing that the Bible comes from God not only gives us resolve and encouragement to obedience to what He says, they also, and more importantly, they give life. They give life. Like when God spoke at creation and life sprung forth. His word contained in the Bible are life to believers. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Words breathed out by God are life-giving words. They are food for us that's better than bread. And Christians live and we're sustained by then the Word of God. Because life is contained in God's Word, this should move us then to not just respect the book, but it gives us reason to trust all that God says in it. If we are given life through the Word of God, that gives us reason to trust His Word. That's where our life is found. And His Word moves us and directs us toward one place, one person, to the cross of his Son, and his love and his glory on display for us to trust and believe in him and worship him. God's word has life, and that life is promised through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember how Paul introduced his letter, promised through Jesus Christ. God's grace is given through faith in Christ as laid out in the words of Scripture. And his Holy Spirit removes sin and renews believers in conformity with the image of Christ. And he tells us this grace that gives life is only through his Son. Scripture tells us that Christ was crucified and he died on the cross for sins. That only his death is accepted by the Father for payment of sin. And that salvation comes through faith in him. A faith that is for us a new and eternal love from God, and one that we return to him. A faith that is based on what we know and live by in the Scriptures. So the Scriptures are God-breathed, signifying their eternal origin and life for us who read and submit to it, leading us to Christ. Now, the second two points I want to share with you this morning are related, but it's important enough that I take them one at a time. They show the usefulness of the Bible. While they go together, let's look at them. The next one says the inspired Scriptures are profitable. Profitable. That's a unique word. It's a word today that's normally used in the context of business. A business that's growing gains profit. It's profitable. It adds treasure. That's what the Scriptures are to believers. They're treasure. They're profitable. They're beneficial to believers because they change you from the inside out. And they give promises that are kept for eternity. And the more we're in Scripture, the more we see its treasure that just keeps growing and growing. The Scriptures are profitable for us. And there's four ways Paul mentions. The Bible is good for doctrine, which means teaching. The Word of God instructs your thinking. To live godly, you need to think godly. The more you learn about God, the more you see there is to love and worship him. The Word of God teaches you to do that. That's why it's important to learn both the Old Testament and the New Testament, not just the words of Jesus. All of Scripture is God's word. The Bibles that have the red lettering for Jesus, they should make the whole Bible red because it's all from God himself. It has great value for us. The Bible is also valuable for reproof or rebuke. It tells you where you're wrong. It tells you what your sin is and ungodliness and false belief. It gets you to get rid of. It tells you what to get rid of, what to stop, what to prevent in your life. This removes all that God is not honored by, what he's offended of, or it helps us turn from being fruitless to being fruitful. Thirdly, the Bible is profitable for correction. This comes from the Greek word to make straight. To make straight. It helps you learn and then conform to God's will. It redirects our priorities, and we're prone to get off track as human beings. Scripture reorients us. It refocuses us on what God sees as important and as good. And that's why Scripture is used for training us in righteousness. The fourth point that Paul makes about how profitable the Bible is. It shapes our lives in ways that are godly and pleasing to God. It's scripture that shows God's character and his righteousness and lays out what a good and holy life is. Makes it clear for us. Essentially, what Paul says here is that the Bible is sufficient for the Christian to live the godly life in Christ that he mentioned in verse 12. If you want to live a godly life that's in Christ, we follow, we submit to, we live by what God says in his holy word. It's the scripture that show God's character, and it shows us how to walk. No other book, no other teaching is needed for the Christian. No other teaching. It's God's word alone that we need. And through it, God works himself into the fabric of our lives, every area. During the Reformation, the Reformers phrased this as sola scriptura, meaning the scriptures alone were enough to make us wise for salvation and was authoritative in the Christian life. That's a treasure. That's a treasure. What you hold in your hands, whether it be actual paper or if it's digital, you're holding treasure in your hands because it's a gift from God, giving you life and then telling you how to live that life in a way that's pleasing, a way that you can be accepted into his holy presence. What a treasure. All that God wants known about his glory, our salvation, our faith and life, our church and personal lives is written in scripture. There's no new revelation that's needed, and there's nothing that should be ignored. It's all relevant for us. The third point Paul makes about scripture is found in verse 17. The scriptures equip believers for everything we face in this life and everything we're called to do. With scripture, Timothy will be face to face with the false teachers head on. He can face them head on, confidently, not arrogantly, confidently, knowing that this is God's word. He's following God's truth. With scripture, Timothy will be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead the church in real faith. They don't have to guess or question. With scripture, the church at Ephesus will learn how to mature in the faith and be holy vessels for God. And with the scriptures, we too grow and we live godly lives for Christ. In his commentary, R. Kent Hughes explains, though we cannot see it in the English, Paul uses two forms of the Greek for the word equip. What Paul is doing, what he means by equip, is that the man and woman are God are super equipped. That's what Paul means here. It doesn't just help us. It equips you in every way possible. Everything you need. You are super equipped with God's word. The scriptures are the main way God gives to us to grow and shape us as believers. There's no guessing. God has written it down and we submit by his grace. We submit and then we then walk in what the scriptures have to say. And we don't have to wonder, am I pleasing God? I don't have to wonder, am I saved? I walk the scriptures out through God's leading by his grace. His Holy Spirit works in my life according to the scriptures. And I have confidence I can go to his throne and not be turned away. What a treasure. This is true even in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic. God's word stands. No outbreak or shutdown changes God's word. There have been pandemics before. Anyone following the news and learning the history of pandemics, this is not the first one that our country has faced. And God's word has been passed on to you. God's word stands through pandemics. His word remains. There have been drastic changes to life. This is not the first time that people have been affected and their lives drastically changed. There are serious challenges that people have faced, people continue to face, and God's word stands. It has not moved. The Bible is truly our life and our treasure. You want to get through this life, you follow the teachings of Scripture. But remember, it's not just a roadmap for your life. It's given you God, and through the teachings, it teaches you, more importantly than just introduced like someone else, it's given you Jesus Christ. What a treasure. That's why every ministry in this church is based on the Bible. Everything we're about, we should be using the Scripture to understand it more, because it gives us more of Christ. Knowing the Bible is not an end to itself. We get in the Bible more and more, and the treasure keeps growing, not because of our knowledge, not because of how much we learned there. It keeps growing because God never ends. What a treasure. In our personal lives, it reveals our hearts and displays God's love and His grace. We need the Bible to persevere. We need the Bible to persevere in the gospel and grow in faith. We need the Bible to help teach us and help others to stay in it. And we tell others what it contains. As you and I stay in the Scriptures, like Paul urged Timothy in the church, as you and I stay in the Scriptures, we continue to seek God's face through faith that He's given us, and we submit to the Scriptures, we too will then say, like the psalmist in Psalm 119, "My heart stands in awe of Your words." Is that you this morning? Does your heart stand in awe of God's words? Are you in the Scriptures not just to be a so-called good Christian? Are you in God's Word to get more of Christ? May God use the Scriptures to keep us in Christ and make us complete for His glory and our good. Let's pray.